Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we've got our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment called They Said What? And we wrap up with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 29.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello. Let's start off with our weekly check-ins. Laura, where are you?
I am at 36 weeks.
Holy smokes.
Yes, indeed. This is the real home stretch. I feel like stretch is the key word in my stomach right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is tight. And yeah, and so yeah, what's my check-in? I got sick. I mentioned last week that I was starting to get sick. Well, I got full-blown sick. You can probably still hear it in my voice. And let me tell you, being sick and pregnant at the same time, being sick and 36 weeks pregnant at the same time is not fun. Not fun.
No, that's not fun. It's the most uncool thing I can think of.
And the thing that really sucks is the coughing. Because, you know, I think we talked about this many, many weeks ago when you were sick. The fact that there's a basically full-grown, full-term baby, like nearly full-term baby in my stomach, sitting on top of my bladder, and then you have a coughing fit means there's no amount of Kegels. Everyone who's like, do your pelvic floor exercises? Like, no, it's not physically possible to control that. So yeah, I've got the poise pads at the ready. Thank goodness for Amazon same day delivery. Let me tell you.
Oh, thank God.
There's something really nice about not having to actually go to the store and buy your incontinence pads. Although at this point, I've lost all vanity. I'm just like, look, I'm fucking 9 months pregnant, basically, at this point. Like,
exactly. Anything goes.
Yeah. So that's just been a kind of a bummer. But otherwise, things are good, except for guess where my baby's head is.
Same place.
Same exact fucking place. Right up under my ribs. He's still breech. So my C-section is still scheduled. I'm going to the chiropractor. I was going to keep swimming, but to try to, you know, float him out of my pelvis and float him around. But then I got sick. You can't go to the pool when you're sick.
Oh, true. Oh, bummer.
So that was out. So yeah.
What about if you float around in your bathtub?
Is my bathtub deep enough?
I don't know.
I don't think it is. Mine is a very small bathtub. I don't have one of those big jacuzzi tubs. So I have been trying to do a lot of hot showers. I know you're not supposed to, they say you're not supposed to do long hot showers, but honestly, I don't think the shower gets that hot enough to be an issue. And
no.
And also one time I did take a really long hot shower because it just felt so good. And I was like, oh, fuck, did I kill the baby? The usual thoughts you have after a long shower. So I took my temperature because that's the thing they worry about, right? Is that you don't want to raise your body temperature above 100 degrees or something, right? 101.
I don't know the exact temperature. That's a good question.
You basically don't want to give yourself a fever.
Right.
Because that's bad for the baby's development. So I took my temperature and it was 99.1, as opposed to the usual 98.6. So I was like, okay, hot showers are A-okay. I think I'll be fine. So I've been doing a lot of hot showers. The steam has been helping. And then I'll do I have a little bench in my shower. So I'll do a downward dog type thing, half downward dog on there. And that really helps relax. So we're trying to get him to move. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, he's got a couple weeks.
There's still a chance. He's got a couple weeks. He's got 3 weeks, actually. Exactly.
That's right. I mean, the good news is if you do your scheduled C-section, you will go to 39 weeks, which is, I know, what you have secretly / not so secretly been wanting to do.
Yeah, not very secret. I mean, I didn't want a C-section necessarily, but I'm also not torn up about it. However, what's funny is I'll actually be 38 weeks and 6 days because I turned 39 weeks on a Saturday. I don't think my doctor cares about that one day. I will not have to be pregnant to 41 weeks like some people, which is, I could be pregnant less time. But now I'm like, that means one less week of preparations.
That's true. Although at least in advance so you can kind of wrap your head around it and stuff and reframe your timeline.
This is true. This is true. And for all I know, I could go into labor early and then I'm really screwed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of my check-in, really. How are you doing? How old is your baby now?
She's 13 days, 12 or 13 days. I'm okay. It's rough. I know last week I was like, you know, filled with adrenaline and stuff. And, you know, once I came home, I still have a good amount of adrenaline, depending on how much sleep I have, but also just huge emotions. I mean, it's hormonal, it's lack of sleep, it's everything. And I'm just up and down. And one minute I'll just look at my baby's face and like burst into tears because I just am overcome with love. And then another minute I'll burst into tears because my other daughter like doesn't want to give me a hug. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like I've ruined my relationship with her. And then I am worried that like my baby's not doing well, like because she lost some birth weight. And, you know, it's
up and down. But
they always
lose birth weight, right?
Yeah, especially when they're breastfed. But that's something that was going on this week is a lot of trips to the pediatrician because she lost about 8% of her body weight, which is they weren't worried about that. They're allowed to lose up to 10%. But on like three subsequent visits, she didn't gain anything at all. And they were wanting her to gain like, you know, a half an ounce to an ounce a day. And she wasn't. And she was a very sleepy breastfeeder. And I, of course, like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing enough to like keep my child healthy. And it gave me flashbacks to my first kid, which breastfeeding was so hard with her. And oh my God. And I don't know. It brings up a lot of feelings of insecurity for me, like that I'm not doing a good enough job, which is crazy because I'm literally spending like 10 hours a day doing this because each feeding takes like an hour. You know, because she's so sleepy on each side and then they got to do a diaper change if they poop in the middle of it and up all night. I mean, I'm dedicating so much time to this. And then like for them to be like, oh, she hasn't gained any weight. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, it's like your metrics are off. Your workplace output.
Yes. Oh, my God. So now I'm like supplementing her with expressed milk, like if she'll do a feeding and then I'll give her like a little bit extra in a bottle and doing a lot of things to try to bulk her up a little bit. So we're going to go back after Christmas and see if she's gained any weight.
Oh, well. I'm sure you are working very hard to do everything you can, and I'm sure she'll be fine. So
yeah.
But we'll have to keep posted. She's on you right now, right? You're recording.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've got this cool little wrap. It's called the boba wrap. I saved it from my first, and it's so cute. It's like this big cloth thing that you wrap around your body and then like tuck them in like a little kangaroo pocket. It's just so sweet. I love wearing the baby. It's so sweet to have her so close.
Aww.
Yeah, so she's snoozing right now. She might wake up soon. We might hear her cry.
I mean, I don't want her to cry, but I do want to hear her because I love the little newborn noses.
I know. What else? That's about it. Having two kids is hard. It's a lot harder than having one, believe it or not.
Would you say it's like exponentially harder?
Yeah, it's really hard, especially because I'm recovering from a C-section too. I can't pick her up. I can't do anything really to help her. And everything hurts and I'm on medication and it's a really tough time. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, hi, honey. Hi, honey. Oh. So it's just the first couple weeks are really just very challenging and I'm doing my best.
You sound good.
Thanks. I got a lot better sleep last night. The night before, I probably got like 2 hours total. Last night, both kids actually slept. So
hallelujah.
Yeah. And I took a shower and I even put on some makeup for the first time in a couple weeks because I have got family and stuff coming over. And I was like, I want to feel fresh.
So. Gotta look fancy fresh.
Yeah. Did you have a bad dream? I think it's almost feeding time.
Uh-oh.
I might have to transition out of the boba wrap and to my breast friend breastfeeding pillow. You got one of those, did you?
Oh, yes. It's still those are plastic.
Best.
Did you bring it to the hospital?
I did not use it because it was awkward in the hospital bed and my incision and everything just hurt way too much to have that thing strapped around my center. So I used like a bunch of pillows.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'd leave it at home and not bother in the hospital with it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, but that's pretty much my check-in.
Cool, cool.
Let's move on.
Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
Okay, our next segment is They Said What, where we go over some of the strange and unusual and shocking things that people say to us during pregnancy and now early motherhood. Shauna, has anyone said anything special to you lately?
Special, yes, very special. I wouldn't categorize this as necessarily shocking or anything, but it's something that rubbed me the wrong way. When I was in the hospital and struggling with breastfeeding, I asked for the lactation consultant to come visit me. And she did, and she was nice, very nice and helpful. And she was asking me about my experience breastfeeding with my first child. And I said, I breastfed for 6 months, which to me feels like a triumph because we struggled a lot. And she said, oh, was that exclusively breastfed? And I was like, yeah, for the first 3 months. And then we started supplementing with formula. And she's like, oh, why did you supplement with formula? And I just lost it. Why is this even relevant to my new child? So now I've got someone questioning like something I did 3 years ago about a topic I'm already sensitive about. And I just like did not want to have that conversation with this woman. Like, honestly, the truth is I got tired of feeding my child around the clock and pumping around the clock. Like, it's a ton of work. And so I just said the first thing that came to my mind and I said, well, my supply kind of started drying up a little bit. I just threw it out there. Yeah. And she just like started 20 questions like, oh, why did your supply start drying up? Did you go back to work? And like at the time I was working from home. So no, I didn't go back to work. So I was like, oh, no. She's like, oh, did you have diabetes?
Oh my God.
No. She's like, oh, did you have a thyroid problem? And like throwing out every like medical condition she could think of. Like, she just really wanted to solve this puzzle of why I failed and like switched to formula. And I just like took it so personally and was like so not into this conversation. Like, I feel like I closed the door on this chapter of my life 3 years ago. Like, I struggled breastfeeding. I struggled to figure out a perfect time for me to end. And I finally felt good about it. And now she's like questioning me about it. And I was just like, no. Okay, so how about helping me with like what's going on right now? I was trying everything I could to just like to close the door on that conversation with her and move on to what I needed, which was help feeding the baby in front of me.
Yeah. The issue at hand.
Yeah.
The infant at hand, if you will.
Oh, so frustrating. Oh my God.
So did she help you with the current infant, or was it just all an interrogation on your past failures?
She finally did, mostly because she gave me what I wanted, which was a nipple shield. They were hurting so bad. I was crying, especially the left one. Like, my baby could not latch on. She was trying again and again. And trying to latch on is basically like chomping on your nipple again and again. And it was searing pain, like to the point where I was crying. And so I was like, can I see this lactation consultant? And she came in and gave me the fifth degree about my past. And I was just like, she's like, so you want a nipple shield? And I'm like, yeah, I'm in tears. I'm crying. Like, and I used one with my first. That's how I knew about it. And I knew it was helpful for me. And
that's
finally
basically just like it's like a thing you put over your nipple. So
yeah,
it's over your areola, so your nipple just comes out, or like what, how's that work?
It like covers your nipple too. It's it's like a round, really thin plastic disc, and it does have like your nipple goes into part of the plastic, and then that little plastic has like a few holes in it. It's kind of like a bottle nipple, really.
Okay.
But when she latches on, it's easier for her to latch on, and she's chomping a little piece of plastic instead of my direct skin. So
I can
finally
see the benefit of that.
Yes. And the funny thing is, like, this is like so TMI. Like, the right side, she can latch on fine. Like, that nipple's 100%. Like, I don't know why.
The left one, not so much. So I was just like, I'm in tears. I'm crying. I can't, you know, they always try to fix the latch because they don't think you know what you're doing, mm-hmm. which I didn't the first time around. But this time I'm a little more experienced. I'm like, I know the latch is good on this side. Anyways,
yeah.
She finally conceded and she's like, well, it sounds like you need a nipple shield. I'm like, no shit, lady, give it to me.
Are these lactation consultants like RNs or what are their qualifications?
I have no idea. That beats me, man. But I think there are a lot of like rules and guidelines they have to follow, especially being in the hospital, like especially the nurses too. Because I first asked my nurse for a nipple shield and she was like, well, ooh, I don't know. And I'm not supposed to give you one. And
oh my God,
if you use one, you're going to have to pump because it's not effective and all these crazy things. So,
wow.
Yeah.
There's so much baggage. I don't know. I feel like it's similar to the C-section thing where clearly like there was a trend away from breastfeeding, right? There was a trend to do more C-sections, right? And it got too far. And so now we're correcting, but there's this like overcorrection where it's like, look, if you can't breastfeed, you can't breastfeed. Like, what are you supposed to do? Or if you need a goddamn nipple shield, just like, is that the worst thing in the world? We just want the baby to be fed and you to not be crying because you're in so much pain.
I know. And so now I'm like all paranoid too. I'm like, using the nipple shield is the wrong thing for me to do. I've got a wiener off it. It's ruining my supply. I mean, and it sends you into a tailspin of like wondering if you're doing the right or wrong thing. So I understand they're trying to be helpful on one hand, but also it does, you know, it can be harmful in some ways. So
I think it's just like whatever you need to do to survive, you do it. You know, you and the baby be healthy, and then everyone else's judgment of what you should and shouldn't do needs to fly out the window because.
Yes. Ugh. Anyways, that's my saga. What has someone said to you recently?
Well, so mine is similarly not like a so hilarious or like so shocking thing, but it's a thing that has been rubbing me the wrong way. I think annoyance is like our theme right now.
I think so.
We just have no, like our patience is worn completely thin or has gone out the window. So I, on Instagram, my baby's been moving around a ton in my stomach and like in a very visible way. And
crazy.
And his head, I think it's because his head is right up under my ribs, right? So like, it's like, it looks like that scene in Alien where like the alien comes out of your stomach, right? So I posted a video, you know, an Instagram story of it, my stomach moving around. Mm-hmm. And then I posted a continuation of it and just wrote a caption that was like, I'm a little scared. And I had a gif of the alien guy, right?
That's right. I saw that. That was funny.
Thank you. I thought it was funny.
Oh, no. Did that rub someone the wrong way?
Yes, it did.
Oh, dear. Well,
so I got a message from a family friend who's like an older woman. She has kids of her own. Mm-hmm. She's probably in her 70s, mid 70s, maybe. And her response was, don't be scared. It's a wonderful feeling.
Oh, God.
And for some reason, like now that I say it out loud, it does kind of sound benign, but I was fucking pissed when I saw this message. Uh-huh. Because I was like, you are literally telling me how to feel right now.
Oh,
you saw that. And first of all, it's like a funny, you know, like it was just trying to be funny, you know, and it looks weird. And it's it is a very strange feeling. And it's not like, you know, this is my first baby. So it's very hard for me also to connect that there's this human that I'm going to like love more than anyone in the world, right? That's doing this to me right now. For me, it's just like, oh shit, my stomach is moving on its own. This has never happened to me before. And it's like, it's kind of uncomfortable, you know, like I have no control over where he moves. And sometimes it's into organs that don't feel good or, you know, like it's. So I'm like, I should be allowed to think this is weird, but she's not the only one. Like there were most people, it's really interesting. Actually, there is a bit of a generational thing because I had a lot of friends also comment on the Instagram story who are moms. They've had pregnancies, so they've gone through it themselves. And they were like, yeah, it's fucking weird, isn't it? You know, like right. But they're younger and like they're close. Maybe it's because they're closer to it, or maybe it's because we're like, our generation, you know, is allowed to have a bit more complex feelings towards motherhood than I think earlier.
That's what I was going to say, is I don't think that's something they maybe were really given the freedom to think or make a judgment of.
Yeah, maybe. Because I was just like, really? I'm just sitting here, first of all, trying to make something funny out of this weird situation. And also, like, I kind of have a thing with Instagram, which is, like, I don't want to be super fucking boring on Instagram, so I'm trying to make it an entertaining post, right? And then you're, like, it felt like scolding. Like, I'm not feeling right about it. And I just, I'm so over that shit. And I feel like there's a lot of, I've gotten a lot of that. Nothing quite so, like, demonstrative as, like, no, you're thinking about it wrong. It's a wonderful feeling. You're wrong. It's, don't be scared. It's, like, you know, a lot of people being like, I just can't help but think of it as anything but a miracle. And I just feel like you get all these messages. People keep saying that stuff to you. It's a mirror. Isn't it amazing? Isn't the most wonderful feeling in the world? People kept saying that to me. Like, I don't know if you got that a lot. Like, when you're like, oh, the baby's moving, they're like, isn't it the most wonderful feeling in the world? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't, it's weird to me. And it's interesting. Like, I think it's an interesting feeling, and it's reassuring, I guess, because I'm a worrier, and it's nice to know that he's moving around in there. But, like, the most wonderful feeling in the world, I can think of others.
Yeah, you know, like eating a chocolate croissant.
Oh, delicious. Warmed up like 30 seconds in the microwave.
Yes. I think you hit the nail on the head with people having the children already and having some hindsight. Like, once you have that kid, and then you can, like, piece together, like, oh, this is the little nugget that was kicking inside of me, you reframe that experience. Because I've already done that with my new daughter. It's like, oh, you were the one, like, kicking me and swirling around. And it feels more, I don't know, like, nostalgic or sweet. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, like you said, when it's a little more surreal and distant, because you don't know what, who is inside of you yet, it's just kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you. I also think she totally missed the tongue-in-cheek tone of your comment on that post.
I do think there was a cultural reference she missed, which was the Alien movie. I don't think she's familiar with the Alien franchise.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And probably just took it really, really earnestly that you said you're scared.
Yes. Maybe she probably did think I was literally scared. I'm not actually scared that this baby is going to explode out the front of my stomach like an alien. I worry about a lot of things. That is not one of them. So
just to set the record straight.
Yes. Good. Please don't write in and tell me that that's not going to happen. So yeah, but it's sort of that thing, and then the collection of all the people telling me, you know, basically just throughout your pregnancy, you're kind of told, like, how you should feel. And I think that women, I know that a lot of pregnant women, but I can only speak for myself, but I've heard from a lot of people, is that it has, like, a silencing effect, you know?
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, I'm lucky I haven't experienced any depression yet in this pregnancy, but people with, you know, depression during pregnancy and postpartum depression, I think it's really damaging for them, because all these people are coming up to you saying, isn't it the most wonderful thing ever? Isn't it the most wonderful time? And internally they're thinking, no, like, I'm fucking depressed, or, you know what I mean? So,
or having a hard time, or it doesn't feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm all for not sugarcoating it and saying, yeah, it feels fucking weird.
Feels weird. Yep. It's not great. Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's all I care to rant about right now.
Okie dokie, let's move on. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, out and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, let's wrap up the episode with our big fat positives and big fat negatives, BFPs and BFNs. Laura, what have you got for us?
I have a BFP.
Nice.
Which is Afrin nasal spray.
Oh, God, I love that stuff.
Okay, so
fuck.
It's a miracle drug.
It is.
And unfortunately, you can only use it for 3 days and before you get, like, dependent on it and have to stop. So
yeah, I was gonna say I had to have a caveat with that because can backfire and it made me actually more stuffy, but for the first 3 days it is a miracle. It's the only thing I could sleep with when I was sick.
That's exactly what I've been using it for. So mm-hmm. I have a cough and my nose is stuffed up. My nose is especially stuffed up at night. During the day, you can take a Sudafed and that helps. You don't want to take Sudafed at night. And I don't think Benadryl really does much for my nasal congestion at night.
Nope.
So I finally gave in and was like, I need Afrin. And, you know, like 30 seconds after you squirt it up your nose, you're just like suddenly it's like a massive fog has lifted. And you can actually breathe and your sinuses are clear and it lasts 12 hours and it's safe during pregnancy, according to my doctor, at least. You should check with your doctor. But it saved my life I used it for 2 nights just at night and then I decided to stop. But those 2 nights were critical because I needed to sleep and I couldn't sleep. My nose was so stuffed up and then it would this is getting gross, but drip in the back of my throat, make me cough, and then I'd cough all night, then I'd pee, and then I'd have to change my fucking pants because I'd be coughing so much. And then I'd have to shower. Oh, God. So anyway, Afrin, you saved my life 2 nights in a row.
I wish
you weren't addictive. Or I guess it's not addictive. It's technically, it's dependency creating, but...
Yes. Yeah. The crazy thing about Afrin to me is it kind of changed how I thought about stuffy nose. I always thought when I had a stuffy nose, I always thought it's just jammed full of like snot. Like it's just like my head is just like a backed up dam of snot.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put Afrin up there, all of a sudden it all clears up. So I don't think the snot disappears. I think really what it is like there's just everything's so inflamed that air can't come in and out. Like I literally did not know that about my sinuses until I used Afrin.
It's really is fascinating because there's so few medicines that you can feel working so specifically. You know, like you take some painkillers and eventually your headaches kind of goes away. But like you shoot that Afrin up your nose and it's like 30 seconds later, you're just like, it's you can feel it.
I imagine it's like the instant high of shooting heroin.
Ooh.
I also imagine. Addictive. Don't try this at home, kids. Ask your doctor first.
Yeah. I don't think that's safe during pregnancy.
Asterisk, I've never done heroin, especially when pregnant.
Yeah, me neither. I've actually never even taken an opioid because I've never had like big surgery before. So that might change in the next couple weeks. We'll see. Anyway, so that's mine. What do you have, a big fat positive or a big fat negative for us?
I have a big fat positive.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Trying to focus on the positives. So one thing, after you have your baby at the hospital, the nurses will be asking you, like, about every diaper change, about every feeding, how long did you feed on the right breast, how long did you feed on the left breast, to kind of, like, just check the baby's progress. Are they peeing enough, pooping enough, eating enough? And my husband and I, Steve, and I, we like tracking that kind of data. It just helps us feel better about the baby and give the nurses the answers they want. And I like to know how long she's feeding on each side to just, you know, get an idea.
Data. You like hard data.
Yeah. And so I'm sure there's a lot of apps out there that, you know, are made for this kind of thing. But the one that we use, I love. We used it for our first as well. And it's just so helpful. It's called Feed Baby.
Feed Baby?
Yeah, Feed Baby. And I love it. It's really user-friendly. Like you can super quickly just like start a timer when she's feeding on your right breast and like stop when she's done and like switch over. And so I can keep track. And every time I feed her, I can quickly look back at the log and see like what side did I feed her on last? Because you're supposed to start on that side with the next feeding. And we can track diaper changes because the pediatrician wants to know like how many wet ones and how many poo-poo ones. And there's also a place to chart like if you're pumping, how many ounces you pump, her weight, her height, her head circumference, like any data you want about your baby. It's great. So if you're looking for something, Laura, like that, try Feed Baby. See if you like it. And this is not an ad. I swear to God, the way I just said that's like, try Feed Baby. It's not. I just really like it. And our use of it tapers off, like, you know, the older she gets and I feel more secure about her diapers and stuff.
You're not still tracking your almost three-year-old's every trip to the bathroom?
No, although I am going to admit something. I'm in such a fog of tracking my new daughter's poops and pees that I went poop the other day and I left the bathroom and I was like, oh, I got to log that. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Shauna, I mean, you know, need more
you
sleep.
All the information on your health. And no one's going to judge.
Oh, my God. So anyway, Feed Baby is a cool app. I love it.
Here's a question. So I know that you are an iPhone user and your husband is an Android user.
Yes.
Can you share data cross-platform like that?
Yes, good question. That's one reason we really love this one too, is that we have the same account and we can sync up between phones. And even though he's Android and I'm iPhone, it works syncing them up.
Well, I'm sure that'll be useful information for people because I know there's a ton of apps, but I didn't know if all of them would be good for Android and iPhone. So it's cool. It's good to know.
It's totally cool.
Awesome.
Oh my God, is that our episode?
I think it is. I think you need to go feed a baby.
I do. It's that time and I'll set my timer with my Feed Baby app.
Yes.
Yay. All right, Laura. Good to talk to you.
Nice talking to you too. Thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you. And if you have any questions or comments, we've been just loving all the feedback and questions and comments we've been getting. So definitely feel free to hit us up at any time with anything. Laura, where can they find us?
We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. There's also a Facebook community group you can join. And then we have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, where we post show notes and direct links to our episodes.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week. Bye.
Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive. Wait.
No, I did it wrong. I jumped into the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, oh my God,
my brain's not working. How do we usually do it?